T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
T.Y. Hilton appears on the way out in Indianapolis. He tweeted out yesterday, no matter where I end up, no matter who I pick, the ghost is ready to work. Hashtag free agency ghost emoji.
Mm-hmm.
There are predictions out there as to where T.Y. Hilton could end up.
Very familiar place right now. It would be, you use this term a lot, a punch in the junk for no real reason. I mean, it wouldn't directly affect Houston Texans fans, but it would just be kind of a punch in the junk. T.Y. Hilton projected to sign out, I mean he is, projected to sign with the Arizona Cardinals. DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, T.Y. Hilton, Angelo Blackson, Jonathan Joseph, J.J. Watt, and maybe others, all Arizona Cardinals.
I could see him ending up in the division. I could see T.Y. going to Tennessee, mm-hmm. although they're going to focus a lot on defense, but they just cut Adam Humphries and cleared up $4.5 million. Or Jacksonville. Maybe Jacksonville adding a veteran. Right now they got a bunch of very young receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They got Chenault. They got Chark going into his third year. They got Colin Johnson. The top three wide receivers on their depth chart
mm-hmm.
are all still on their rookie contract. So maybe Urban Meyer and the Jags, they decide that they want to, you know, add a little veteran in T.Y. Hilton there, and the Texans still have to face him twice a year. I could see that happening with T.Y. Hilton, but it will be nice to not have to, if he does go to Arizona, not have to watch him play the Texans twice, because it's never a fun experience.
Every time you saw that team, you'd be upset, and your stomach would be upset. All kinds of things that make the Texans look bad. T.Y., DeAndre, J.J. Leaving the Texans. By the way, Marcus Spears had a really good rant. We'll hear it at some point, but this morning, about J.J. leaving the Texans, how everybody's like, well, they expected to do it. They, you know, it was expected to happen. And his point was, why? You know, this was the this is the absolute face of the entire franchise. Someone that you could get for that price, which is not that much, even for 2 years of him, and you're letting him go. He said it was a slap in the face of the Texans, even that J.J. Watt, you know, much less Deshaun Watson, even that J.J. Watt was allowed to leave. Interesting point.
What?
Well, because his point being, they're players of that caliber,
they leave all the time in the NFL.
Well,
Tom Brady just left the Patriots.
Well, but that was... He's 49 years old,
left the Colts,
or whatever he is. He was 47 years old. I know I'm exaggerating, but, you know, was still some gas left in the tank that most people would acknowledge.
Andre left?
Letting him go. I thought it was an interesting point that he made. Because everybody's talking about Deshaun Watson slap in the face. This is a slap in the face.
This is just part of it. It just seems like this happens in the NFL a lot.
It does. Older players.
Yeah, older players.
He's just 31, man.
He's got a lot of wear and tear on that body.
Yeah, he does.
I think Spears... Was reaching a
I think T.Y. is gonna would be a good fit with Arizona. Really good fit. Doesn't have that absolute off the top, you know, speed anymore, but he runs really good routes. He's acknowledged as one of the best route runners in the league, and he can still separate from the second or third DB. you know, the second or third DB that they're facing is going to be on T.Y. If they're not, buyer beware.
I'm predicting T.Y. still plays in the division.
That would be interesting.
I think T.Y. either goes to Jacksonville, Tennessee, or stays with the Colts. That's my prediction on T.Y.
That would be even worse.
Go to Jacksonville. He played his college ball at FIU. Mm-hmm. So Florida. He's from Miami Springs, Florida. Don't know how far that is from Jacksonville. That's where he went to high school. Go out there with Urban Meyer.
If it's in the Miami area, it's a pretty good hike. But still, Florida.
They're gonna have a nice little quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Nice offense. A lot of stuff to work with there. T.Y. Hilton, Jacksonville. Huh? Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Will Fuller. If T.Y. Hilton does leave the Colts, I'm wondering if Indianapolis looks at Will Fuller. They're obviously going to have to replace the void left by T.Y. Hilton. I know he's not what he was when he was a four-time Pro Bowler from 2014 to 17, but he's still a playmaker. He still made plays, especially on the back end of the season, starting with when he got to face the Texans a couple times.
Funny how that works out.
I could see Will Fuller ending up in Indianapolis. I could see Will Fuller, the Colts, looking at Will and saying, we want to put him with Michael Pittman Jr. Mm-hmm. in his second year. And I could see Will Fuller staying in the division as well with the Colts. Could I interest you in a stat when it comes to Will Fuller and Indy?
Hit me.
Out of 11 meetings
mm-hmm.
that the Texans had with the Colts while Will Fuller was here,
mm-hmm.
how many games do you think Will Fuller played against Indianapolis out of 11? Because they played him in the playoffs in 2018.
Right.
Or 19. 18.
Six.
Five.
Five?
Five times. They kept him in check, although mm-hmm. on 11-21, November 21st of last year, not this previous season, but the mm-hmm. season before,
mm-hmm.
he had seven catches for 140.
Wow.
But other than that, they kept him in check. But he only played the Colts five times.
He would be a terror.
I mean, you got to think, they're going to try to make it as comfortable as they can for Carson Wentz. He needs someone established, right?
Yeah. And he would be, I mean, he's young too. Still.
Yeah, and I think they're going to run the ball. Obviously, they have one of the leading rushers in the NFL last year in mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor. They're going to try to run the ball. They got Michael Pittman in his second
year. A little
play
action and a deep ball?
Play action.
Ooh, baby.
Will Fuller. I could see it happening. I'm still looking for Zach Ertz. We don't know if he's going to be released by the Eagles or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's another guy to keep an eye on out there in Indianapolis, going around the league here on Sports Radio 610. Tom Herman is going to be an offensive advisor for the Chicago Bears. What was your reaction when you saw this?
I had to make sure there was a check mark. I thought this was just some troll account that he's not. I mean, offensive advisors don't make very much money at all. He doesn't need it. The horns are still paying him. But what is he going to do? I know that he had a pre-exist. I know his agent and I might be the head coach's Nagy's agent are the same. So it was probably just doing him a solid, keeping him in the game, keeping him relevant. I can't imagine him doing much. Yeah, now that I think it was Matt Nagy and Herman have the same agent. So it's probably just, hey, we'll give you $60,000, $80,000 a year. Just sit there and help us out. Tell us what you think. And then next year you'll get a job somewhere.
Life comes at you fast. Tom Herman's in the NFL. Bill O'Brien's coaching at Alabama.
Bill O'Brien has the better job.
As is Doug Marrone. Yeah, that's about the best job you can get.
Yeah.
That's not a head coaching gig. Mm-hmm. Life comes at you fast. Tom Herman.
Herman will be coaching Chicago. Illinois next year. Since he's in Chicago, they're probably going to fire another coach. He'll be back on a kind of mid to high level program. He'll be at Illinois head coach.
You mentioned Illinois. Do you think when it comes to Jack Easterby, his days being limited, or Jack Easterby eventually wearing out his welcome in Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Former coach at the University of Illinois, former coach of the Chicago Bears, Lovie Smith. He was hired as defensive coordinator for the Texans. I think right now Nick Caserio is focused on rebuilding the roster. I think the coaching hires are kind of second nature right now. They're just trying to rebuild, fix the roster,
mm-hmm.
and minimize the damage. Lovie Smith was hired by Jack Easterby. I think it seems safe to say.
Absolutely.
Or he was at least he, so he was Casario, on standby before.
So was Cullen.
Do you think that one of the best things that can happen, and this was a theory I was throwing Sean's way this weekend when we were at the wedding, Clint's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
This defense just being a disaster and Lovie Smith looking like the game has passed him by, which is really what he looked like his entire time at Illinois and really on the back end at Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be one of the best things that could happen when it comes to Jack Easterby kind of exposing himself? The defensive coordinator just looking lost because then...
Why?
Because he's the one who made the hire.
He also hired the head coach and the general manager.
But the general manager is... I think the difference between Nick Casario...
I can see you're questioning your own point now.
No, I'm not. The difference between Nick Casario and Lovie Smith and David Culley is Nick Casario, his resume qualifies him to be a general manager. Lovie Smith and David Culley, those coaches only make sense if you are rebuilding or if you're a football buffoon like Jack Easterby.
No, I think it... I'm not dispelling your point, but I think it's a bigger point. Yeah. Lovie Smith and the defense looking garbage would definitely reflect badly on Jack Easterby. I don't know anything that's reflecting well on Jack Easterby at this point. Like what is the moment with Jack? There's nothing. There is nothing that reflects well on him right now. So that includes Culley. I mean, and if the offense stinks, you know, he brought in Josh McCown if McCown ends up taking a job here. So I think all of it, let's go back to what I've repeatedly said. Oh, I just remembered something I got to tell you, too.
Okay.
It's going to end badly for Jack Easterby, but it's not going to be anytime soon. It's going to blow up. Everything that you're talking about is going to come back to haunt him, but it'll be at least 2 years.
I'm just hoping that Cal is at least developing a relationship with Casario.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dependent on Jack Easterby being the middleman.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you're the middleman, you're doing that just so that you have control and you have power,
right?
Which is what I think Jack Easterby's done his entire time here. I think he probably developed into the middleman between Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain. I think maybe the messages got lost, although I do think there was damage to that relationship before Easterby even arrived.
Yeah,
I think he developed himself as the middleman between Brian Gain and Cal McNair. I think he might have developed himself as the middleman between Chris Olsen and Cal McNair. I think over time he might have developed himself as the middleman between Cal McNair and Bill O'Brien. So Nick Casario is going to be here for, I think, 6 years. I think he's going to play out that deal. But I just hope that Cal McNair at least, if nothing else, is meeting with Nick Casario, just them two, and keeping it between them two so that he has a relationship developed that's not dependent on Jack Easterby. I think it would be malpractice to not do that. And that's the bare minimum. I don't expect a lot from Cal McNair at this point. But that's the bare minimum. Please just develop a relationship with Casario that's not dependent on Jack Easterby.
I think, you know, McClain said he does talk exclusively with Jack, with Nick Casario on occasion. But that doesn't mean that Easterby is still not involved. All right, I got to tell you something that I heard yesterday.
Okay.
This is just an I heard. Okay? It's not, you know, any hard and fast direct information that I've received. I heard yesterday... Remember that conversation we had about how people might be influencing Cal McNair and his decisions?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say this. It was well received in that building.
What was?
Your point about how people might be influencing Cal McNair's decision making.
Yes.
It was
irresponsible dadgum rumors.
Yep.
I do not think it's Cal McNair's decision to fire
Jack
Easterby.
I don't know, but it was, let me just say, I was privy to some information that it was a well-received segment. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, that's my opinion. I think Cal McNair, if it were 100% up to him, I think Cal McNair would fire Jack Easterby. I think someone might be not allowing that to happen. It's my theory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me giving Cal the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, it is.
That's me giving Cal the benefit of the doubt.
And there were people who were nodding their heads in agreement.
All right. Well, shout out to all you.
Yeah.
Very smart people. 713-572-4610. if you want to get in. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Did a member, or shall I say former member of the Houston Texans organization, see the lights? And I ain't talking about the Easterby lights, but did he see the lights that we tried to guide him to? Maybe so. We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
713-572-4610 to get in. Josh McCown released yesterday. Supposed to be an Easterby guy. Is there a plan, or did Josh McCown see the lights? I had a plea to Josh McCown a couple weeks ago that Josh McCown needed to consider if this is where he wanted to begin his coaching career. Going back to 2016, and I have a thread at Landry Locker on Twitter. There are quotes from Hugh Jackson. There are quotes from Todd Bowles. Bowles actually let Josh McCown be a player coach when he was injured, has spoken very highly of him. Hugh Jackson actually offered him a job 5 years ago. As a backup quarterback, that's what McCown has been, basically an extra coach. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz, when he was playing at an MVP level and playing some of the best quarterback in the NFL, credits McCown. McCown was offered, or it was discussed, that he would be the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia as recent as this year, decided he wanted to keep playing. He had options, and I wondered if this was the best situation for him, connecting himself to Jack Easterby and being ridiculed for getting an interview a week before the Texans finally hired a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if Josh McCown really wanted to start his coaching career here because of the options that he had and because of the reputation he had developed and all the admiration and praise he had received around the NFL. And yesterday he was released.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, is this going to be a situation where Josh McCown returns as a coach? Or did Josh McCown look at this situation and say, you know what? Doug Peterson entertained the possibility of me being an offensive coordinator. He's likely going to be back in the NFL next year. And Todd Bowles, we know the job he did with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He could be a hot name on the market next year as well. Maybe I just need to sit this one out, watch my kids play some high school football mm-hmm. in Texas, and then I can find a better option as to where to start my coaching career that was promising and never ridiculed until I latched on to Jack Easterby.
I think that's part of it.
Easterby latched on to me, I should say.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because unlike other people who are all indebted to Jack Easterby, you know, Josh McCown doesn't have to be. He's got all the money he needs. He's seen things. He's got relationships away from – Jack Easterby is not the reason Josh McCown is at the level he is, where he is considered a potential – coordinator and head coach. Jack Easterby had nothing to do with Josh McCown getting to this point. He only had something to do with Josh McCown coming here.
And the thing about Jack Easterby, not to cut you off, is that it seems like he's kind of latched on to credible people to get to where he's at. And I don't think too many guys in their 40s mm-hmm. this early in the game,
he's seen things, man,
have as much credibility football-wise
right.
as Josh McCown. His football mind is respected. It always has been. Again, mm-hmm. It's been talked about for a long time, but it almost seemed like trading, when you already had a backup quarterback, trading for Josh McCown, bringing him here from Philadelphia, giving him a press conference, this talk about coach and waiting, it almost seemed like another attempt by Jack Easterby to kind of latch on to some football credibility.
I mentioned earlier that Jack Easterby, this is an organized cabal that he's in charge of. He's plotting to become king of the Texans. He has been since Brian Gain was fired, and he was behind that. And so he is surrounding himself with people who owe him a lot and owe him their job. Josh McCown owed him for the opportunity to come here and maybe become a head coach, but he doesn't owe him anything else. David Culley does. Nick Caserio does. I mean, pretty much everybody over there since Easterby has taken over owes him something. I think Josh McCown has in fact seen the light. He probably is. He's very much in tune with Jack Easterby's, religious viewpoints and outspokenness regarding religion. but he doesn't owe him anything. And so he might have seen the light, and he's got good people around him. Josh McCown does for decades. His agent has, you know, his agent was Arian Foster's agent and other guys. You know, he's been around a lot. His agent may well have told him, look, no. You know, it looked good when you got there, but you need to get out. You know, I don't think he's going to be coaching for the Houston Texans. I really don't.
And I think the appeal of it, and this is what Josh talked about a lot in his opening presser, was working with Deshaun Watson. And yeah. I mean, you come in the building in Houston, you think there's going to be a culture change, and then I'll be damned. There goes J.J. Watt. Deshaun Watson wants out. Jamie Roots out. And all of a sudden you look at this and you say, man, this isn't the ideal situation. If Josh did see that light, congratulations to him, because I think that's in his best interest, because it would be a damn shame for someone who's dedicated that much of their life to football to all of a sudden fall victim to Jack Easterby and basically take not eliminate, but definitely minimize everything mm-hmm. that he's done to get to this point. I think that would be a huge mistake for Josh McCown. We'll see what happens.
The smart business decision is not staying. And McClain said earlier, unless they promise him to be the head coach, which is a valid point. If they're saying, look, let's get through this. Let Cully be here for 2 years. You're going to be the head coach in 2 years. Here's my counter to that.
But I don't even know. I don't even know if that's what Josh wants to do.
Oh, I think it absolutely in Texas, you know, be a head coach in the NFL. But here's my point that I would.
But
you
agree he was destined to be a head coach regardless.
But he's on the fast track here. If Jack Easterby, as we might suspect,
but he doesn't. I think he's very very. And I talked to someone who knows him very well.
Mm-hmm.
He was embarrassed.
Oh, I know.
He was embarrassed by the way that acted.
No.
I mean, he wanted them. I think he even wanted them to just start interviewing other guys.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Man, y'all put me in a tough-ass spot here.
Don't get me wrong. I think he's out, as I just mentioned. I think he's going to move on. He's seen the light. He's going to go somewhere else because his star is high enough that he can get another job just like the one he had here. But McClain's point, let me counter McClain's point. His was, unless he's offered – you know, in 2 years, Cully's going to be out of here. He's going to, you know, he's going to do his job and get out of here, or do, you know, what we asked him to do and get out of here. And you're going to be the head coach. That's attractive. But here's my point to Josh McCown, if you're listening. Don't believe anything that Jack Easterby tells you. The streets are littered with people who trusted Jack Easterby. Bill O'Brien trusted Jack Easterby. Jamie Roots trusted Jack Easterby. On Amy Paulsik trusted Jack Easterby. On and on and on the list goes of people who were once allies with Jack Easterby that he stabbed in the back. So if he's telling you, hey, hang in there, be our quarterback's coach or whatever it is you're going to be, you're going to be the head coach, don't believe him. Don't believe Jack Easterby. Go somewhere else.
I think the David Culley hiring is a result of the destruction that Jack Easterby has done to this organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's going to be a situation where David Culley isn't indebted to Jack Easterby. If Josh McCown's seeing the light, it kind of gives me hope that maybe eventually Nick Caserio does as time goes on, because like Josh McCown, we're talking decades worth of building a resume. And we can minimize it, we can nitpick, and we can say, well, Bill Belichick was calling the shots, and we can talk about draft picks, and we can do all that. We could do that with anybody. But the reality is the resume that Josh McCown has built mm-hmm. and the reason that people have been talking about him on such a high level as a potential head coach is because of his own doing. The reason that Nick Caserio was trusted by Bill Belichick to be his right-hand man and the reason that he was in position to eventually become a GM was because of his own doing. So maybe Nick Caserio eventually, hopefully, as his process plays out, as he starts to build the roster, as the rebuild continues, as the standoff continues leading up to the draft, maybe there's hope that Nick Caserio sees that same light that maybe, we don't know yet, we could find out tomorrow Josh McCown's coming back as coach.
No, he could.
That would change everything.
He could.
But maybe it's possible that Nick Caserio starts to see that light, and then maybe it's possible that whoever is in charge of keeping Easterby around, mm-hmm. I don't think it's Cal McNair anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's his call. I think he's falling on the sword.
Or he's being influenced.
Yeah, I think he's being influenced. But maybe that person will see the light as well, and maybe we can start having a big boy football organization.
No, I think he has seen the light. I think Nick Caserio is starting to. I mentioned it yesterday. I think there's maybe a couple of hints there that Caserio is like, I don't know, I need to help myself more than I need to help this guy. and I need to help this team more than I need to help this guy. But it is possible that Josh McCown is going to be named in 10 minutes, you know, as a quarterback's coach. I don't know. All I'm saying is, as a fan of Josh McCown, and I know you're a bigger fan than I am of him, you've known him, you know people around him, I would tell you don't do it, number one, and don't believe anything Jack Easterby tells you. Just don't do it. Call B.O.B. Call Jamie Roots. Call Amy. Call any number. Call the strength coach, for goodness sakes. Call anyone over there who...
Call J.J.
Call J.J.
Call Andre.
Yeah. Call Andre.
Call Brian Gain.
And say, hey, should I trust this guy? He says I'm going to be the head coach in 2 years. I can tell you what their answer is going to be.
I mean, you've been on damn near half the teams in the league. There's a lot of phone calls you can make. I'm sure we can make a lot of connections to where he can make a lot of calls. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. The standoff continues. Tomorrow is going to be a crazy day. And the reaction, the sleep after JJ signed with the Cardinals. Plenty to get to, such little time next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Landry Locker, John Lopez with you. A lot going on. Day after JJ Watt signs with the Arizona Cardinals. Tomorrow, James Harden returns to H-Town, 30 days away from opening day, 15 days away from free agency and the draft. My goodness, the draft is less than 60 days from now, 58 to be exact. Let's go to the phone line, 713-572-4610. Greg, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I've got a question for you. How close are the Houston Texans from basically being blackballed by the entire NFL sports agent community?
Yeah, that's really, it's a complex question, and I'm not trying to cop out. Agents are definitely going to hold grudges against the Houston Texans and how they operate when it's in the best interest of their client and their client has other options. But agents are businessmen, man. You know, business is business. And when there's an opportunity for one of their clients to do some business with the Houston Texans and everybody ends up happy financially, they're going to do it. I think if there's a tie, the agents are going to go against the Texans. So they're not going to be blackballed. They're just going to be pushed down the list.
I mean, I do wonder if they did like Justin Fields, with him having David Mulligetta as his agent, just like Deshaun Watson, if there would be some sort of refusal to come here. I am intrigued by that. I do think that they've done a very bad job, and I think Bill O'Brien did a bad job at this. And I think this is going to be on Nick Caserio, which I think he has very solid relationships around the league. They've done a very good job, or very bad job, at managing relationships. And I think it's part of the reason Bill O'Brien was unable to get a quality deal for DeAndre Hopkins. I think it's one of the reasons that he was unable to get quality deals whenever he made moves, because they did not do a good job managing relationships. You heard Lewis Riddick say it many times.
If you've got that neighbor that you really don't like, but he can do a job that you really need at a really important time, let's say your pipes burst or something, and he's a plumber, you're going to hire him. You know, business is business. Personal is personal.
I got mad at my neighbor yesterday. Yeah? I don't really even usually talk to him, just kind of keep it moving, but
yeah.
It's like the indoor apartment type thing.
And what did he do to you, man?
Well, my man is like, I guess he was struggling in the kitchen. It happens a lot. Sometimes you burn stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to open the hallway door instead of the balcony, or he opened both.
Yeah.
And I just kind of knocked on there. I said, hey, chief, why don't you just let that go out on the balcony? This isn't like if that's your own situation. Like, he's like, I'm like, yeah, you don't let the smoke in the kitchen go out in the hallway. You let it go out on the balcony. What is this? You want to like throw your garbage out there? You want to put your dog crap out there too? It's your own situation, bud. I think it's a good point. You think I'm out of line?
I do.
John, it's the hallway.
You don't knock on nobody else's door saying that.
He had
though.
It open. He had it open. He was just letting the smoke go in the hallway.
You got the right to be mad, but you went and knocked on his door.
It was open, and I was going
you
to
still
work
knocked
out.
On it. By the way,
I just knocked. I said, "Hey, chief, how about just letting it go out the balcony?"
And plus, I guarantee you, Figgy, he did call him chief too.
Yeah,
and that's a big no-no. By the way, do you know anything?
I thought there was a fire, and I'm looking, and this dude's just letting smoke out.
Don't you know anything about ventilation? the ventilation is better if both the front door and the back door are open, in this case, the balcony.
Bro,
you I think live, he was doing you a favor.
You live in an indoor apartment facility, okay? You don't have the same luxuries of a chief. Guy like John Lopez who has a house. Yes, if you live in a house, you do that, but it's a community hallway.
So you just asphyxiate?
I just said, hey, how about letting that go out of the balcony, bud? And while you're at it, learn to cook. Good God. I mean, I don't know how to do a lot, but I can handle a skillet. There Turn the fan on and let it go out the balcony there,
there
bud.
Go.
Good gosh. John, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I've been driving down to Sargent, and I was just
Atta baby.
Yeah, and here's what I want to know. Since we're in 100% rebuild mode, and obviously we are, what realistically do we need our left tackle Tunsil for? There's not anybody going to be there that we care about protecting, don't you? I mean, we'll
no, I agree. I asked John McClain about that. I said, wouldn't it be stand to reason if you're going to be rebuilding, you're not going to have Deshaun, you're going to have a rookie quarterback, that you could get some value out of your left
but
tackle?
What value? That's what I was getting at, though, is realistically with a, what is it, $20 million contract?
Yeah.
What do we get? Maybe a second rounder? I mean, as pathetic as that sounds, isn't it better than spending $20 million for a guy when you're not going to win a game or two?
The problem with it, though, is that contract. I mean, I think Laremy Tunsil's a good enough player, but the contract was negotiated so poorly, he didn't even need an agent.
Yeah.
And the player that you most compare Laremy Tunsil to is Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle in Baltimore. We're talking a $3 million difference. They basically reset the whole left tackle market. So not only did you trade too much for Laremy Tunsil, you made the contract such to where even if you wanted to trade him, and I'm sure there are a lot of teams that would love to have a player like Laremy Tunsil as their left tackle,
yeah,
the contract is so jacked up that it's not even appealing.
Well, it might be appealing for someone. I think you at least float the idea. I'm with him, and I wish I was with him on the way to Sargent, but that's for another day. By the way, you're being called a Karen on the bat phone here. Why didn't you ask to see the manager about the smoke?
No, there's no manager. I mean, it's just in the hallway. I mean, we've had fire alarm issues since the power went out, and my man's just letting smoke out. That's not a Karen thing. That's not a let me speak to the manager. That's a hey.
Hey, pal. Hey, chief.
You screwed up your own cooking. I shouldn't have to walk through the smoke because of that. It's a community hallway. Like, that's just common courtesy, common sense.
All right. 100%.
100%. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Who is going to be on the season tickets for the Houston Texans? 713-572-4610. The OG is about to go take care of some business. I want to cuss and discuss this with Fig a little bit as well.
We can say what it is.
With the left
I
holes.
Think it's good, actually. I finally got my vaccine. I'm going to get the COVID vaccine, but it's in Brenham, so I got to leave right now.
You might be lightheaded.
I might be sick tomorrow, so you can look forward to that when I'm on the air. I might have aches and fever, but that's all right. I will forge on. But that's good. I think everybody should try it. I think you should try to get on a list, man.
Why?
Why?
I already had it.
Doesn't matter. You still need the vaccine. You're only immune for 90 days. Dude, open Google once in a while.
I'm good. Good. I don't.
Figgy, you going to get the vaccine?
Probably so. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to, man. I think it says 90 days, something like that. But Karen, what do you think about Laremy Tunsil? Somebody texted. Oh, man.
Who is going to be on the season tickets for the Houston Texans? OG, take care of yourself.
All right, man. I'll let you know how it goes. I may have fever tomorrow,
sometimes,
but that's cool. It's for
sometimes
good cause.
Whenever I get a shot, I got to I got to hold someone's hand or something.
Don't
like
tighten
that.
Up. Just keep it loose. Keep it loose.
I don't know. I don't like blood.
All right, boys.
All right. Figgy, I told you about the lady that draws my blood at my doctor's office, right? I don't know how to approach this. We'll get into it, who's going to be on the season tickets. I don't have a problem with it because I understand that he has a cult-like following. But shout out to Dr. Maldonado. does a good job looking out for me. Every time I go and get my physical, which I think is due in like 2 months, the lady who draws my blood, she's got a picture with R. Kelly in there.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like a conversation starter, but I'm not trying to rub her the wrong way by asking her about the R. Kelly thing.
You could ask. You could say, when did you get the picture, or are you a fan and all that?
I mean, she's obviously a fan. She's still rocking the R. Kelly picture in the middle of the doctor's office, bro.
That's strange, nice, man. That's super strange.
I mean, he's got a lot of
you got to be a closet fan now.
Well, she's not. She's still riding and dying. Who's going to be on the season tickets for the Houston Texans? I'm thinking about this, Vic. Because Deshaun's gone. JJ's gone. Nuke was on the season tickets for a while. Let's pretend that there's 8 spots. There's 8 tickets. There's going to be 17 games. Let's pretend they have to go on the road for that 17th. Who can we say with 100% certainty is going to be on those tickets? I'd say Zach Cunningham.
Yep.
Assuming that he's here, I think you got to put Tunsil on there.
Brandon Cooks.
If he's here. Probably Cooks. David Johnson. Justin Reed.
Randall Cobb.
No.
He'd probably be number 2 receiver.
They know that Randall Cobb is miserable. I think you got to put David Culley.
I don't know about that one.
You got to put the coach on there, man. You got to put the coach. Aminahu,
yeah.
All right, so that leaves one spot. We're getting Easterby. We're getting Jesus suggestions. You guys are some slime balls. This is hard. This has never been this hard.
Lonnie?
Could you get Lonnie? Hell no.
I was going to say Roby, but that's a little tricky.
Yeah, I don't even know if Roby's going to be here. I could see Roby being gone. Do you put Titus Howard on a ticket?
I would.
All right, so we'll put Titus
Howard.
I will put Titus. So here are the season tickets right here for the Texans. Zach Cunningham, Laremy Tunsil, Brandon Cooks, David Johnson, Justin Reed, David Culley, Charles Aminahu, Titus Howard.
Whitney Merciless.
Whitney probably still going to be here. Apparently trying to work out. Whitney Merciless trying to get back in shape. Apparently he is acknowledging that he was a little bit heavy last year. So
COVID lit.
Whitney's trying to get in shape. It's crazy when you think about it. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, 30 days away from opening day for the Astros. James Harden back in town tomorrow with the Nets. That's going to be weird. James Harden has gone from, and I think it's very strange. I'm not one of these put on for the city or the media is anti-Houston type of guys. But it is weird because I think when criticism is due, I'll recognize that, you know, this figure in Houston sports or this team deserves to be criticized. I think the Astros deserved all the smoke for the cheating scandal. I thought it got a little bit out of line at times. I thought the Jose Altuve buzzer stuff was obnoxious at times. I don't think there was much substance there. But they earned that. They earned all the criticism, and we criticize them just as much as anybody else for the cheating scandal. I think the Texans deserve all the criticism that they're getting right now, 100%. But the fact that James Harden, who's played at an elite level, the highest level of 99.9% of the players in the NBA since he was in Houston, the fact that James Harden, in a very short time, has gone from the most ridiculed future Hall of Famer that I've ever seen to now all of a sudden a beloved figure when he's in Brooklyn. I got to throw the challenge flag when it comes to obnoxiousness and a strange media narrative. Because James Harden, if you hear media types talk about him now, you would think he was just absolute garbage in Houston. But for whatever reason, now all of a sudden James Harden is just this beloved figure. And what makes it even crazier is that people in the past who've done what James Harden ended up doing. And I know it was a trade. It wasn't going and signing. But guys who have latched on to super teams, whether it was LeBron in Miami with Bosh and Wade, or it was Kevin Durant in Golden State with a team that had already won 70-plus games in a championship, those guys usually naturally get ridiculed. And when it's James effing Harden, who was the butt of most NBA jokes and the laughingstock of NBA social media, when that guy joins a super team and he's still pretty much doing the same stuff he was doing here, and all of a sudden he goes from being the most hated guy in the NBA to, like, the most beloved guy in the NBA, I got to throw the challenge flag and say, when it comes to Houston hate, there are some examples that I think it's deserved. I can't really make sense of this.
It's weird because he wanted to go to Brooklyn. It wasn't like he was forced there. He wanted to go there to play with two other stars, and he's getting the credit for it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, James Harden's a hell of a passer. Yeah, he's led the league in assists in recent NBA history. But now all of a sudden he's just this beloved guy, and he's coming back to Houston tomorrow. Also going to see J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins. The NFL schedule comes out in about 7 weeks. Texans are going to face the Arizona Cardinals. J.J. Watt right now making the rounds. There's a video tweeted out at Arizona Cardinals Twitter of J.J. Watt talking to Chandler Jones. Apparently he's going to be able to wear number 99. The family of Mr. Goldberg has said that J.J. Watt is going to be able to do that. I think Lopez is right. I think this could be the first Monday night football game, or the second Monday night football game, when they have the doubleheader. I think the Texans, assuming that Deshaun Watson's going to be gone, and I think that's the assumption that most of us make, you have to have one primetime game. Why not throw them into that game two of Monday night football? They always have the doubleheader. Usually Chris Berman's calling it. I don't know who usually calls it with him, but Chris Berman, I think J-Lo's calling a hell of a shot there. I could see that happening. I think it is going to be the one national TV game. I think the second Monday Night Football game makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
I agree. We might have to watch it on mute, too, because you know they're going to be talking a whole bunch of smack about the Texans offseason.
I'm going to have to just let them talk about it. Here are the Chris Berman jokes. 9588 on the text line says, Hannah sleeping should be one of the season tickets. 8006, what about Kiki QT? We have a vote for Umbop Hansen, 7901. Fairbairn, 1717. I could see that.
That's safe.
I could see Fairbairn. Fairbairn did get up. He's been mentioned more times by Jack Easterby's Twitter account than J.J. Watt has in the last month. Kiami Fairbairn got a happy birthday shout out. No thank you, J.J., though, from Jack Easterby. So maybe that makes sense. It's going to be interesting. Season ticket holder, shout out to you. I know one thing's for sure. As long as they don't ruin the tailgate, I'm good. I'm going to put a lot more effort into tailgating, quite honestly, too.
I hope I'm still judging them.
We need to be judging them. HEB's still going to be holding it down. We're going to get out there, tailgate. It's going to be fun times. I think the excitement over getting back to the park, NRG Park, and especially assuming that they're going to be full stadiums. Alabama football says that they're going to have a full stadium. Although I think they probably would have had one last year if it had been up to them anyways. I think maybe that could override some of the tough times that we're going through as Texans fans. But we are in this together. Shout out to John McClain for hopping on today.
I would also like to shout out.
Ain't got time for that. Got to stop that. Shout out to the OG John Lopez going to get his shots tomorrow. We'll talk to Stanford Route at 12:40 for his weekly visit. We'll look ahead to James Harden versus the Rockets. We'll give you latest on the Astros, as well as the continuation of the standoff between Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been In the Loop. We'll talk to you at 10 a.m. tomorrow. But in the meantime, Ron Hughley and Wade Smith in for a honeymooning. Clint Sterner are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.